I think that this is about the biggest issue I can think of that is requires a global solution. There are many, but change in climate affects environmental degradation, it affects poverty, war. I mean, it has just such far-reaching effects, and I just want to stand with our students because I'm just so proud of them that they want to make a difference.
Welcome back to Match Volume. We're your hosts, Sadie Olson
and Hala Osgur. You just heard from USC President Carol Folt. Even though her inauguration took place on the same day, she still made time to show her support for others at the student climate strike. You'll hear more about that in this week's episode, but first, let's talk about our obsessions.
Hala, I'm obsessed with bubbly water.
Really? Honestly, I just feel like it tastes like TV static.
No. It's the best thing ever. Everybody that knows me knows I have like 5 every single day. It's amazing.
Okay, well, what is your flavor of choice?
Blackberry, except USC Target doesn't carry blackberry, so I have to go with my second choice, strawberry.
Wow, tragedy.
Such a tragedy. What is your obsession this week?
Well, I have been obsessed with pants. Now,
pants, Hala.
Yeah, not just any pants, but comfortable pants. The type of pants that make you look like you're really put together and make you look like you're professional, but in reality, it makes you feel like you're actually in pajamas.
You know what? I feel that. I feel like most of my professional pants are just pajamas in disguise.
Absolutely. They're the best kind of pants.
Amazing. Okay, Hala, let's dive into this week's topic. Match Volume's Eileen Chen interviewed Antonio Bento, the director of USC's Center for Sustainability Solutions.
We're going to hear all about sustainability and climate change from one of USC's leading environmental experts. Let's listen to some students at last week's climate strike on why they're advocating for sustainability on campus.
I think we've done a lot of really great things, but I'm really optimistic for what Dr. Folt is going to bring in the next few years. I really think that this new administration is a really good jumping off point to start some really positive change on the subject.
I think that USC practices puts on a face of being sustainable, and we can do a lot more than just say that we're being sustainable. We need to actually be sustainable.
USC has done a lot in bringing awareness, like in the dining halls, but I think it's definitely important that we're seeing more of it.
You know, I like that they have it in mind, but I think they can definitely do more. I mean, why don't we have solar panels on campus? And we definitely have the resources to do it, but I don't know why they're not here yet.
Every little bit of effort counts, but I think bigger structural change is necessary rather than just like providing compost bins in the dining halls.
With our new president, Folt, I do believe that she's going to try to implement change here for the better and to help create a greener campus.
I'm Eileen Chen. I'm here speaking with Antonio Bento. For those listening who don't know what you do here at USC, could you please describe your position?
Sure. I'm a professor of public policy and economics at the Saul Price School of Public Policy and the director of the new established campus-wide USC Center for Sustainability Solutions.
Can you briefly describe its initiatives?
Sure. The USC Center for Sustainability Solutions really aims to develop a new paradigm for society that simultaneously allows us to promote economic growth, protect the environment, and foster social justice. And we do that by looking at some of the most pressing sustainability challenges of our times and then break the traditional silos of the university and form groups of interdisciplinary scholars, both faculty and students, to tackle those challenges. And we do that effectively by teaming up these groups of scholars with our stakeholders starting here in the city of Los Angeles.
During the faculty symposium that accompanied President Folt's inauguration, your team mentioned your vision to position USC as both a hub and a preeminent partner for the governments, international agencies, non-government corporations and organizations to develop solutions toward the most pressing environmental challenges. How will your team implement your initiative?
So that's actually a very good question. As we mentioned during the faculty symposium, we do that because we partner with stakeholders on the ground. And in fact, in addition to Los Angeles, we already have opened global network of sustainability solutions hubs around the world, in Beijing, in São Paulo, in Mexico City, in Delhi, and hopefully in the future in other, you know, in other mega cities that are by growing very fast, they are also experience much of the sustainability challenges that these other ones are already having. The way we do develop solutions is really by deploying our teams of interdisciplinary scholars on the ground, and by engaging in dialogue with stakeholders, we identify the problems for which we need solutions. So let me give you an example. Even before the center started, we had a partnership with the government of Brazil in the city of Rio de Janeiro, where faced with heavy rains, partly because of climate change, extreme weather events, slum dwellers were starting to see their houses falling through landslides. And so one of the things that we were asked to do was, could we develop a system that helps local governments to prevent individuals from losing their lives throughout this process? And so one of the things that we have done, using techniques from computer science and machine learning, as well as public policy, was actually to develop a mechanism for alert system prior to the major rain hitting the city. And we are doing these types of solutions, again, around the world. So I will be traveling to Mexico City to sign an agreement with the new mayor, precisely where our center will take the leadership in helping the government design the new plan for air quality, which actually includes designing policies, for example, to manage the fleet of vehicles on the road, as well as control various sources of pollution in the city. In Beijing, for example, I actually just returned from Beijing. We are working both with the central government, but also with provincial governments in terms of helping them realize that many of the policies that they have been putting in place to control air pollution often create unintended effects. And so our job of our team is actually to help them improve not only monitoring, but actually improve the design of public policy to regulate many of these sustainability challenges.
Sustainability is among President Fo's top priorities, and with her Zero Waste Luncheon and her participation in the student climate strike, she is exhibiting a resolution unprecedented in the history of USC. So how would you picture USC's path towards sustainability with the inauguration of President Fo and the launch of the CFSS?
So I think, first of all of us are very inspired by the arrival of President Fo, because if you look at her profile, starting as a researcher, she's always been a prominent scholar in the environmental area. But then as an academic leader, I think we are even more inspired by the way she's starting to bring us together to really call for a university-wide initiative on sustainability. It was quite touching that she took the time to actually join the students at the climate rally. Of course, this is perhaps the biggest existential threat of our time, and it's actually the generation of our students that will be faced with bigger problems if we don't do anything about it. And so having President Fo next to our students, giving them voice, not only to express their concerns to where society is going on the environmental front, but also to give them hope that the administration is in support for USC to actually come together and develop solutions that actually start here locally, I think it was very meaningful, right? So I am personally incredibly hopeful. I don't think we talk about the past, but actually we take the opportunity of her arrival to do a major turning of a page in the history of USC. And given our location here, almost at the entrance of South LA, this is the area where a lot of our sustainability challenges are happening, because, you know, What we see here in Los Angeles is that those that are consuming most of the what there is to consume are not those that are essentially being exposed to the pollution that gets generated. And so USC is really the bridge between the east and the east, north and the south of the city. And I think it's here where we're going to develop this new paradigm for how this city could look like in a way that we also promote social justice and in a way that we deal with issues of environmental justice so that we protect our most vulnerable communities.
Speaking of creating a sustainable community, how does CFSS plan to work with organizations on campus like auxiliary services, like USC FMS? How do you plan to work together to create a sustainable community?
So that's a very good question. So far in our interview, we emphasized the idea of hubs and the idea of bringing teams of interdisciplinary scholars to these mega cities. Of course, at USC, we're very blessed because our campus is actually our initial hub. It's where everything starts, right? Whether it's actually here on campus or whether it's in Catalina Island at the Wrigley Institute. So we see our campus effectively being a test bed for when many of these solutions could be tested at a smaller scale and then being scaled up all the way to the city. And so the same way we will be engaging faculty and students with our different stakeholders, you could almost think of the different units of operations and facilities here at the university as a different set of stakeholders that our groups of scholars should also be interacting with and assisting them as they move their operations towards a more sustainable future.
How does your team plan to engage students campus-wide to participate in this sustainability movement?
Of course. So that's, again, I think that's the key question here because universities don't exist if students are not here. And the same should be true for centers. And so what we do is we try to develop a series of activities that hopefully inspire the students and engaging them with us. So in fact, I would leave you with the following ask, which is, I hope students will reach out to us and tell us what they would like to see happen on campus on sustainability, because as we plan future activities, that input is very important. But there are many ways for us to include students. So not only they can participate in our events and through our events, they can interact with stakeholders, but then we also are developing a platform for engaging students in what I would call solutions-oriented applied research. And so a group of faculty is developing a Sustainability Grand Challenges Scholars Program that we will inform the campus probably sometime in the spring, and we will start thereafter. We are also envisioning opportunities for students to spend time perhaps in consulting style projects, international labs in the location of our hubs, right? So again, this is, I should say that it's a very ambitious agenda. This is a center that literally hasn't started because it will officially start it in the spring. President Folt announced it last Thursday. We were obviously very honored, but we are really just getting a few activities off the ground, primarily to rally the student and the faculty population here at USC.
By far in this process, has your team entered any obstacles?
Well, there's always obstacles in every large organization, right? Mm-hmm. One of them, I think, relates to the fact that universities were traditionally organized by discipline, not necessarily by the types of problems that they solve. Mm-hmm. And what is particularly interesting about sustainability is that sustainability is defined by the problem. But often for you to solve the problem, you need to bring all the different pieces together that are often scattered around the university. And so how you break silos to bring people together, I think that's really the hardest piece of the puzzle. And so through these initial activities that we are doing, part of it actually aims for us to get to know each other better so that we understand not only the unique strengths that we have here on campus, but how can different groups bring their unique techniques, their unique ideas to the table, so that when we blend everything, we actually come up with clever and practical solutions for some of the problems we'll be tackling.
Students don't seem all satisfied by the efforts USC has made towards sustainability. A few Friday Climate Strike participants is complaining that USC is not doing enough towards sustainability, and they voiced very specific inquiries like reducing food waste at dining halls, instilling more rigorous waste recycling, and better diverting the campus compost. So how does CFSS plan to respond to this very specific demands of the students and to improve USC's reputation of sustainability efforts among our student body?
Okay, so those questions should actually not be directed to us at the Center for Sustainability Solutions, because you may have also seen that one of the things that President Folt announced was the creation of a campus-wide working group to oversee sustainability on campus, right? Our center is primarily a center for education, research, and outreach, right? We will be assisting those in operations and facilities to make their operations more sustainable, but only almost as consultants, so to speak, in a more advisory role. Those decisions, of course, are done centrally by the university administration.
How do you hope CFSS can work with other university organizations and lead other corporations to develop more sustainable practices?
Well, so that's an organic process, right? So remember that as a campus-wide center that is relatively new, our first job is to actually demonstrate our value proposition, both to our partners here inside the university and our stakeholders in the city and around the world. So we hope that as we bring these teams together, we actually have projects that in consultation with the stakeholders demonstrate that we deserve their trust. And as a consequence, the relationships evolve and our role increases over time. Right? So it's an organic process. I cannot tell you yet which of the thematic areas is going to become more successful, which of the problems are we actually going to give very specific solutions that would down the road be implemented. But I can give you an example through my own research. So you may have seen that I've done a fair amount of work examining the proposal of the Trump administration to roll back fuel economy standards. And I think that type of research is a good indication of the work that will come out of this center, which is whenever new proposals for policies are put forward, our center should be able to do rapid assessments so that we can comment on whether those policies make sense or not. And in the case of the proposed rollback, this paper of ours, which ended up published in Science, demonstrated very clearly all the flaws of the Trump administration in proposing the rollback. And I think we are now seeing the discussion as it evolves between a not so pleasant discussion between the federal government and the government of California. But what is important, again, is the contribution of our center as providing scientific evidence that actually allows us to move past the political gridlock that often prevents us from developing solutions.
Mm-hmm. So what can USC students do to play an active role in this sustainability movement on campus?
Well, so I think that they can do several things. The first one is they should take a moment every so often to ask themselves, you know, where are they in the context of the natural environment? What are their actions? What are their behaviors? Could there be things that they could do that actually don't require much sacrifice or changes in behavior? But once we look at if everybody were to behave in certain ways, what would be the positive results? So I think part of what students can do, and in fact, any of us, is to have constant reflections of what is that we are doing that could be damaging the natural environment. If you recall at faculty symposium, I started with the following example, which is every morning when we make our driving decisions, we don't take into account that the emissions that we generate throughout your driving is actually causing negative effects, in particular in our vulnerable communities. So perhaps actually a lot of the things that we could do start with the realization that we are part of the problem, but we could also become the solution. And maybe what we need to do is to take a moment to realize some of the things that we are doing that perhaps we don't take a minute to account for the effects that they cause on society. So that's on a very personal level. On a more group level, I'm hoping that the center will inspire many students to join, all the way from volunteers to researchers to communications teams like yourselves that would help us amplify the message that we are putting forward. But then, you know, in addition to this center, there's many other initiatives on campus for students interested in sustainability. So we have a very active major in environmental studies. In the Price School, we certainly do a lot of work in environmental policy. At the Wrigley Institute, there's certainly a very active work on marine sciences and environmental biology. So I think depending on the students' interests, what we are starting to see is that USC actually has a lot to offer in this area. And with the Center for Sustainability Solutions, I'm also hoping that the students will see the center as a platform for engagement with the stakeholders in our city, whether it's an NGO that is working on environmental justice or whether it is the Los Angeles Clean Tech Incubator that is promoting startups for renewable energy or other sustainability practices.
Well, thank you for joining us for this conversation, Professor Bento.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Match Volume.
A special thanks to Eileen Chen and Isatou Baldi for contributing to this week's episode.
Tune in every other Friday for new episodes.
For Annenberg Media, I'm Hala Oscar.
And I'm Sadie Olson.
Thanks for listening.